All right, we're back. This is Who's Talking. We just enjoyed a good visit with Dan Bonner, longtime contributor and friend of the program. I know Dan about this time of the year starts getting excited because he knows he's getting ready to start seeing some big-time games. And
he has a very busy travel schedule between now and early April.
That's right.
But a good guy, was truly a student athlete back in his day. You know, he was a very, very bright individual. So, and a hardworking basketball player. May not have had the most talent in the world, but got the most out of it. And certainly his last year, which was, I think, Coach Holland's first year, he was a co-captain and contributed significantly to that team. So he's done well and was the women's coach for a couple of years on my recommendation, as a matter of fact.
And it's hard to believe you gave up that opportunity. Well, I know how much you like women's sports.
I said no, and he did it for a couple of years, did it well, and I think that may have led to his broadcasting career. But at any rate, how about
next week's show, Jim?
Next week's show, basketball and a little football. Frank taught me many years ago that football is always in season. So we will have head coach Mike London join us next week on the show, in addition to basketball analyst Ted Jeffries. We're fortunate this year Ted is going to join us periodically through the basketball season. He's the one guy that sees every game up close and personal, so he's got some insights that other people might not have. So Ted will join us next Monday night, which will be the eve of the Davidson game. The basketball team off now until Tuesday the 30th. My guess is Tony said goodbye to them yesterday afternoon and let them go home through Christmas. I would assume Friday afternoon they'd be back in Charlottesville practicing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday to get ready for the Wildcats.
Got to get ready for those Wildcats because you never know what they're going to be.
Well, I think they've only lost one game. Of course, Harvard had only lost one game prior to yesterday, so it's hard to tell. Some of that's who you played. But Davidson, you know, moving this year into the Atlantic 10, certainly off to a good year, and Bob McKillop has had a terrific program there for many, many years. So Virginia will have to be ready to play.
Speaking of future guests, we know that Terry Gates will join us early in the new year to help us break down the Wahoos and the other ACC opponents. Chris Horn, the Saber recruiting analyst, will join us probably late January, early February to help us analyze National Signing Day, which is typically that first Tuesday in February. Dom Starsha, I'll reach out to him soon, and we'll bring him on as we normally do. And speaking of that, the lacrosse schedule was just released. Very interesting. We'll talk more about this during the FOSS Home Team Olympic Report, but UVA men's lacrosse has a very interesting schedule this year, and that has just been released. If you go to virginiasports.com, you can look at that schedule and get all the dates and so forth. But how about let's talk about the LeClaire Ryan play of the game. I'm going to throw it your way.
Well, we decided it was not a particular play. It was probably the overall play, particularly of Virginia in that first half, limiting Harvard to an almost unbelievable 5% shooting, 1 of 20.
Hmm.
You know,
an one field goal.
NCAA record. Harvard had 6 made free throws. And I think the made field goal was like in the first 3 or 4 minutes. So they went the last 16 minutes of the first half without making a field goal, which I guess is certainly a tribute to Virginia's defense. May also question Harvard's offensive potential from that perspective. But you know,
too
it was
big.
Just amazing.
Too big, too strong, too fast, and too well coached.
Well, yeah, I mean,
let's be honest, Amaker Schlamaker.
I mean, Harvard, you know, it's certainly they've won the Ivy League 2 or 3 years in a row. They've been to the NCAA tournament, and I think I'm not even sure if they didn't win a game in the tournament coming out of the Ivy League. So, they're not a bad team, and as the newspaper indicated today, they were preseason top 25. I think what's interesting to me is Virginia is making teams that are not that bad look awful.
Right.
It just shows how well Virginia is playing.
Well, both ends. And I think it's incredible how strong the offense has become for UVA. The passing is so much more improved than even 2 or 3 years ago. And it almost seems they're very comfortable attacking the basket. And Jim, I'm going to throw this to you. You've seen a lot of basketball in your day. You played at Virginia. You were an analyst for over a decade.
12 years.
So is it possible that Tony Bennett, for the first time as a head basketball coach anywhere, is now wrestling with his own philosophy? Because this team has a bunch of players that are not afraid to shoot. They are not passing up shots, and here's the crazy thing, they're making them.
So no, I think they recognize opportunities. There was a point early in the game yesterday where I think Virginia was ahead 11-3 or something like that, where they get in the offensive end and Malcolm Brogdon, he was on the left-hand side of the floor. He realized Justin Anderson was coming down the right wing. He waited for him so that Anderson could sort of spot up, get his feet in the right position, and Brogdon made a terrific one-handed pass cross-court to Anderson. He elevates and knocks down the three. So in that particular offensive set, they didn't use much of the shot clock. I think one reason Virginia's scores are lower is the other team uses the full 35 seconds because they can't get a good look at the basket against Virginia's defense. So that's what kind of slows down the tempo and causes the scores to be a little lower at Virginia.
That was very true against Cleveland State. At least four or five times in the first half, you could see total confusion by the guards and forwards for Cleveland State. They did not know what to do. And in some cases, two or three players would be too close to each other in the corner of the court, almost like, you know, fifth grade basketball. And the coach is screaming a play, and the players don't even know where to go.
I'd be curious, and I guess they keep this stat, how many shot clock violations Virginia causes during a year?
Or near shot clock.
Yeah. And a lot of times teams will recognize it's down to 2 or 3 seconds and they put up a bad shot just to throw something toward the rim. Mm. So it happens a lot. But on the offensive end, I think Virginia, as you say, they are really sharing the basketball well. I think part of that is the play of London Perantes. I still think he's a key cog as the point guard, making sure the offense runs the way it does. The other thing is, you know, Malcolm Brogdon is a terrific guard.
He's such a calming influence.
Yeah, he's out there. He's steady. He understands the game. He understands Tony's offense. And of course, the other key factor is, you know, 2 or 3 years ago when Tony was winning 15 games, there were times where you'd look out on the floor and you think, of the five guys on the floor, who's going to score? Now you look out there and you realize all five guys are a threat to score.
Well, you know, I was going to say that. Just think, Perantes is now getting healthy. During almost the entire practice period this fall, he was out with a foot injury. He looks like he's moving a little bit crisper, a little bit more confidently, and his errors are going down. And his production is going up. And, I like Devin Hall coming off the bench. Oh, my goodness. 6'5", and long arms, and he's not afraid to jump up and try to dunk it or make a shot down low. Shayok has never met a shot he didn't like. I mean, he obviously spent some time in Uniontown, Pennsylvania or something.
Hey, it's not what you make, it's what you take.
No. There you Well, Shayok, you know, Connecticut really blew it on this guy.
Connecticut, although was he supposed to go to Marquette or something? Maybe
yeah,
he was supposed to go to Marquette.
Also, but I think Connecticut was...
Well, you know, regardless, I mean, he was looking at other schools and became available, I think, after Buzz Williams decided to go to Virginia Tech. But nevertheless, I think he's going to be a really, really good player for Virginia over the course of the next 4 years. And as you say, Devin Hall, he's a talented basketball player. So we got some guys that are not getting that many minutes who can really play, but that's a good thing because you think ahead to next year. Toby, Anderson, Brogdon, Gill, we got a lot of guys who will be seniors next year, so there'll be some slots to fill after next season.
Well, you know, I like, Evan Nolte was very efficient in this game against Harvard. 4 of 6 from the field, 1 of 3 on the three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 9 total points. He had 1 steal, all in 14 minutes. Well, 14 minutes, you barely get warmed up enough. Can you imagine if you actually played like 15, 13, 14, 15 minutes and a half?
Well, that's one of the hardest things for a shooter You know, when you're coming off the bench, you're cold, you get out there. Ideally, you sort of get into the flow of the game a little bit before you start jacking it up toward the rim. But Nolte's the kind of guy, you know, I think sometimes a guy in that situation thinks, hey, I better go in and do something positive, you know, right away, or else I'm going to be coming back out of the game. So, but it's been good to see him knock down some shots here in more recent games.
Curious, Anthony Gill only played 14 minutes.
I think he was in some foul trouble yesterday. He got two early fouls, so he didn't play as much in the first half as he might have.
Well, it's really strange how he would be the one that they're blowing the whistle on. But I did think...
Well, that's the beauty of having Toby, Gill, and Darian Atkins.
And Wilkins coming off the bench.
Well, Wilkins is a fourth option, but you know, if you get somebody in foul trouble, you got somebody you can put in who's going to do a very credible job.
I like the calmness of this team moving the ball up the floor. That it almost seems like even the second stringers understand this is Virginia basketball. And although they don't necessarily run or sprint down the court, they move with purpose. And then they're getting better, quicker looks than they used to during Bennett's early years of Virginia.
Yeah, but I think there again, that's a factor of having five guys on the floor that the other team needs to guard. I mean, you can't really slough off of anybody.
Oh yeah.
You know, when you had Will Sherrill out there, with all due respect, he was not necessarily a guy you thought you had to guard. And who was, you know, my friend Jontel Evans, I loved the kid to death on the defensive end, but if he had the ball 15 feet from the basket, teams didn't feel like they had to guard him.
Right.
Because he wasn't going to shoot it effectively. But now, you know, that's not the case. You know, we got guys on the floor that can score.
All right, we've got a caller. Dan is on the line. Dan, welcome to Who's Talking. You have a question.
Well, Frank and Dad, I wanted to call just to wish you happy birthday. I don't know if many people know that it's your birthday today, but I figure Hobo deserves a birthday greeting on a show.
Well, you know, it's amazing. He looks pretty good for 68.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I know. I know. And, Frank, I heard your birthday present to him was more airtime tonight. Yeah. So thanks for that.
I have been giving him more airtime, and I didn't give him a hard time all day or at any point during the show.
Yeah, my son's probably still out buying my birthday present as we speak. You know,
I don't blame
him. What birthday present?
I know that's, now the truth comes out.
I'm supposed to get you a present. I thought this was the present.
No, yeah. Just that several $100 gift card will be fine.
Oh,
and a bottle of good bourbon.
I still owe
right?
you that money I owe you, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, hey, and it was good to hear Uncle Dan earlier. Don't forget about on his list of accolades, world champion bowler.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the Dan Bonner story back in college, he had an incident at Mountain Bowl right there in Charlottesville. It was a little embarrassing to him before he became a big TV celebrity. So we won't hearken back to those days. But nevertheless, Dan Hopgood, I'll see you in a few minutes at the house.
I suppose so.
All right, thanks for calling. And anybody wants to call with happy birthday wishes to Hobo, this is the day.
I know, and the rest of you, thanks for missing my birthday. It wasn't that many weeks ago. Come on.
Well, you don't look that much older, you know.
Well, I'm younger.
You got a little salt and pepper in the hair, though, I must admit.
Although
you
know,
that's
phone,
the downside of having dark hair.
My phone is buzzing, so somebody heard that. Let's get back to Virginia basketball. This defense that Virginia plays you can't get half anybody out there professionally or otherwise can even explain it. They talk about what they think the priorities are, but you listen to them on TV and every single analyst describes it differently. What do you think?
Well, the key is Tony always says, you know, what he likes to do is make the other team take tough shots and for us to get easy shots.
Yeah.
So it's a simple game if you look at it from that perspective. What'll be interesting to me is when they play the really quality teams. We know they're going to play Duke and Louisville. You know, maybe somewhere down the way we'll play Kentucky. Can the Virginia defense effectively contain those folks? And I think in that situation, one of the keys will be, you know, I used to say on the air that defense ends when you get the rebound. So I think one of the keys to Virginia is not giving up offensive rebounds. And against teams like that are really athletic, like Duke, Louisville, Kentucky, you're going to have to really focus on making sure if you force somebody to take a bad shot and they miss it, did you get that rebound?
You know, one thing I couldn't agree more. Attendance for the Harvard game, 14,593.
And my guess it'll be sold out or very close to it for Davidson next Tuesday night.
Which is crazy.
Shows what winning does for you.
It does. It's amazing. Everybody wants to come watch the Wahoos now.
You know, if you want to fill up Scott Stadium, get ranked in the top 10, and I think you'll have 61-5 showing up at Scott Stadium. And I still think Coach Lennon will get that done eventually. It's just a little tougher in football.
I couldn't agree more. All right, we're going to jump to break. We come back, we'll cover the Olympic Sports Report and talk a little bit about the beginning of the ACC season, which is right around the corner. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.
Now, I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer.